Welcome, Hoosier Nation, to our 157th episode of The Hoosier Sound, where we are the official podcast of Indiana HQ. Our mission and goal is simple. We want to bring you in-depth analysis and coverage for Indiana University sports to as many fans as possible across a multitude of modern platforms. We're recording this edition of The Hoosier Sound on September 1st, 2020, where I am your host, Nathan Christian, and here with me tonight is seasoned THS, the Hoosier Sound vet, Matt Lukens. Matt, what's going on with life? We were just talking before we started about Game 7 tonight, Jazz Nuggets. Who you got in that one, and then is there anything else fun going on in your life?
Yeah, well, it's nice to be back on the podcast. Another week gone. I feel like we're just like ticking down the weeks until it's 2021 now. You said September 1st with such emphasis, and I was like, wait, I remember it being like February. We're talking about the Super Bowl, and now it's September. It's just, it's weird this year has gone by like so quickly and so slow at the same time. It's very strange. Anyways, time's weird. But Nuggets, Jazz tonight, Game 7. If I had to put money on it, which I'm not putting money on it, and I don't admit to sport gambling at all, but I put money on the Nuggets for this.
I think they're
a better team overall.
The times are changing, man. I think DraftKings Sportsbook, for example, is totally legal in Indiana, at least. I don't know where all of you are listening from tonight, but you got the Nuggets. You know what? I think I have Denver too. I think they're a little better. It's crazy because Utah was up 3-1 in the series, but
they have more weapons, and Conley isn't 100%, and Bogdanovich isn't playing. If Bogdanovich is playing for the Jazz, I might have a different opinion on this.
Sure. That's the NBA part of things, of course. Tonight here on the Hoosier Sound, we're going to be breaking down the IU football and IU basketball senior classes. What a whirlwind college career it's been for some of these guys, both on the gridiron and on the hardwood as well. We're going to break down each of the seniors. We're going to talk to you about what they've done so far this season. What they've done so far in their careers, what to look forward to from them this season. Again, we're all crossing our fingers, hoping we get some football or basketball action. We're not going to get into all the rumors floating around as far as Big Ten football is concerned. We're going to wait until there's some type of official word. So if you're tuning in for that tonight, that's not what we're going to give you. But don't go anywhere. We're going to tell you all about the people, the players entering their final season here at IU. Matt, let's start with the football team. And as usual, this coaching staff has done such a good job of recruiting and development. But the interesting thing is the senior class with these guys has some players that were recruited by Kevin Wilson. It's not a class fully recruited by K-Dub. But it is a partial group, to say the least. It's crazy that it was just 4 years ago four and a half or so years ago when all that went down. But, the headliner in the senior class is Wap Fillier. I mean, what can you say about him? He had 70 catches last year. What a stud he was. The crazy part is, thinking back to Fillier's recruitment, which Kevin Wilson spearheaded, Wap was not considered to be the savior. He wasn't considered to be the next great IU wide receiver. And wide receiver is the one position where IU's turned out a lot of really good players. But even then, he wasn't supposed to be the next superstar sensation. Yet here we are talking about a guy who's a Biletnikoff Award finalist. I mean, what more can you tell our listeners about what Wap has done so far and what he has in store for him this season? Because he might have more at stake than anyone else on this team.
I mean, yeah, he's a program leader in 10 plus receiving games. He's 15th in receptions, and then he's also 20th in total yards. So he's got another year to play in which he's going to be number one target on this team with a fantastic starting quarterback. So, and a maturing starting quarterback as well. So I the sky's the limit for Wap. He could be moving up the leaderboards very quickly for all time IU ranks and maybe Big Ten ranks as well when we get all said and done.
Yeah, leaderboards, draft boards, all sorts of boards. I did see an interesting story over the course of the last few months. Wap's trying to be the first person, I believe, in his family to graduate with a college degree. So, you know, if you're thinking about, hey, why did Fillier come back? He could have gone to the NFL technically after last season. You know, it makes plenty of sense now when you look at both the on the field and the off the field stuff, why he chose to return. I mean, if you're just a casual IU football fan and you don't know the name, I mean, get to know who Watt Fillier is. He's easily identifiable. He's a short receiver, usually in the slot, 5'11", guy number one, wearing that number one jersey. So, yeah, definitely get to know. Elias D'Angelo Fillier, his full name. But apparently they call him Wop because he ate a lot of Burger King Whoppers. Sounds pretty simple. Another wide receiver teammate of his that's going into his final season at IU is Ty Freifogel. That's right. We're starting the show with Wop Fillier and Ty Freifogel if you wanted to cross those off your great name bingo card in the Big Ten this year.
Sure.
Freifogel had a really good season last year, Matt. 45 catches, over 600 receiving yards. I remember covering a game at Penn State last year where Freifogel had over 100 receiving yards, and that's against a really good defense, really quality secondary against a, well, not only against a good defense, but in a huge, I mean, not only against a great defense, but in a huge environment. You know, I'm going to ask you the same question, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you to see Ty Freifogel in his senior year, assuming it happens?
I'd say like an 8.
Yeah,
like a 10 would be like too much. I feel like we're putting too much expectation on it. If we give him a 10, like that's WAP. WAP, I have a 10 for WAP, but like an 8. Like Ty Freifogel's an actually very good wide receiver. He's actually very good, but obviously he's a good wide receiver. He's a starting wide receiver in a Division I program in a Power 5 conference. He has to be good. But as far as IU wide receivers in the last 5 years goes, Ty Freifogel is in the upper echelon of the wide receivers that we've had recently. He can go and get balls. He's a good route runner. He's quick. He can go deep for long balls, though you're not going to really want him to do that all that often. But he can definitely go up and get a ball when need to, and especially in the red zone, he's a good target, being tall and powerful in his stride. Yeah. So I really like Ty Freifogel, but I can't say enough about him, honestly.
No, that's a really good point because – you know, it's funny because he was, you talk about the big frame, right? The, you know, and you're not wrong. He's 6'2", 215. He seems to be like right next in line after the great lineage of sort of big bodied IU receivers, right? Yeah. He started with James Hardy recently, kind of the late James Hardy, and then Simi Cobbs, Cody Latimer. And then of course, a couple guys who just graduated and Nick Westbrook and Donovan Hill. By the way, for those of you who may not have heard, Nick Westbrook is now, I might bundle this pronunciation, but he is now officially Nick Westbrook Ekine. He's added a little ending to his last name, possibly to honor some sort of family lineage. I don't have the full details on that, but Westbrook Ekine is trying to make it onto the Titans 53-man roster, which would be awesome news. But with Westbrook and Hale out the door, Freifogel's the guy who I – you know, if you ask me 1 to 10, I'm going to even bump it up. I'm going to say a 9. I mean, that's how excited I am.
Get a lot more touches, yeah.
I mean, if you think, you know, Westbrook and Hale are out, Hale's going to line up – I'm sorry, Freifogel's going to line up perfectly on that boundary side while Wop scurries around in the middle of the field. You know, Freifogel's going to get those really nice looks down the field, especially if Michael Penix is the quarterback. So, you know, I think if you get even an 8-game season this year, I think he's got a really good chance to eclipse that 3-touchdown number from last season.
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why not. Crazy enough, though, as far as the skill players go, those are the only two guys on the offensive side. You know, the rest of the quarterback room, running backs room, receivers room, all
so
youngsters.
Young. Yeah.
Which is crazy to think because IU just is coming off an 8-win season. Yeah, in the trenches, though, IU is going to have some experience, which is good to hear because last season you saw a number of older guys move on, such as Hunter Littlejohn and Coy Kronk. Not easy for sure to replace those offensive linemen. But the first guy I wanted to mention is Harry Kreider, Matt. What do you know about Kreider? What do you expect from him this upcoming season? Because he's also one of those players that was recruited partially, at least, by Kevin Wilson a long time ago.
Well, Kevin Wilson was known for recruiting and scouting offensive linemen very well. He was an offensive line coach before he became an offensive coordinator. I know about Harry Kreider. I know he's an in-state kid. That's always fun to root for. He's an Indiana kid. And also, he should become a starter. Should, you know, obviously things can change in training camp for better or for worse. But Harry should fill in that role. I think Coy Kronk's role, if I had to guess, this is going to be the role that he's going to be filling on the line. Again, somebody to look out for. Got a little bit of experience and a bunch of reps last year filling in for injuries along the line, and should be ready to play this year.
Yeah, and I mean, it's always tough to project these guys, especially because we've had no practice to look at. If the season started tomorrow, which, you know, under normal circumstances, it would have started, I think, last weekend. But of course, you know, we didn't get that except for, I think, maybe one FCS game, something like that. I mean, that was chaos on Twitter back on Saturday night, I think it was, with Central Arkansas or whatever. I mean, it's funny to see football fans so desperate to watch anything on their TV. I mean, did you watch that game by any chance?
I was not able to catch it, but I was on I was scrolling through Twitter. I was like, oh, there's a football game on. And like every single national media person I follow was watching the game. And I was like, oh, there's a football game on.
I mean, I didn't watch a second of that matchup. I think it was Central Arkansas and South Alabama. No, that doesn't sound right.
In Texas, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm going to bundle it. For some reason, I remember Central Arkansas because that's where Bulls legend Scottie Pippen went to school. And for some reason, that stuck in my head. But Kreider's supposed to line up in the starting O-line. Matthew Bedford and Caleb Jones will be the tackles. But as far as where Kreider could line up, you could see him in either of the guard spots or the center. So he definitely has a lot of upside. He's had to wait to get his shot, but he's going to now. After Kreider,
those are the best stories to root for, is the guys that stay here and stick with the program and get their chance their senior year to play.
Well, especially a guy like Kreider, who, again, you know, if he wanted to transfer, no one would have really blamed him.
No.
I mean, no one would have blamed him, with guys like Simon Stepaniak, who ended up getting drafted by Green Bay, and Hunter Liljohn, and, you know, Brandon Knight and Wes Martin were here a few years ago. Hey, I'll tell you this much. Kreider's learned from some really good veteran O-linemen over the course of the last few seasons. So if he gets some run this upcoming year, he'll be set. Another O-line player that you should pay attention to is Mackenzie Nwora, somebody who is also a former Kevin Wilson player. I mean, it's going to be mixing and matching in the interior of the O-line, Matt, if this football season happens. What more do our listeners need to know about Mackenzie Nwora?
I mean, he's a transfer from Stanford. Stanford's known for developing very good offensive linemen, getting first-round draft picks. So he has been working with and in a program that is known for developing offensive linemen. Now, do we know if he's going to start or not? No, not really. Probably not. No, he's probably going to come in and get some, you know, replacement minute, get some reps when some guys need rest or maybe roll an ankle or whatever, you know. It's happened. It's football. But don't look for him to start. Look for him to maybe come off the bench and give some relief minutes.
Yeah, I mean, right now, so that's Dylan Powell, the Stanford grad transfer. He and Harry Kreider and Mackenzie Nwora will all sort of be in that conversation.
Oh, were you talking about Nwora?
No, it's all good. We're good. Okay. They're all in the conversation in the interior of the O-line. moving on to tight end, this guy's an interesting prospect. Cameron Taylor, transfer from South Alabama. With Peyton Hendershot getting reinstated, I don't think we'll see Taylor as much. Do you have anything else you want to add as far as Cameron Taylor is concerned?
No, from South Alabama. Maybe that's the team we were talking about earlier. Again, somebody we might see play, we might not. It's going to add depth and some practice, practice.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw him comment, I forgot if it was to a reporter or just sort of generally on social media, saying, hey, you know, I didn't get to run too many routes when I was at South Alabama. He's somebody who's like 6'4", 260, something like that. You're sort of big-bodied tight end. You can understand with measurements like that why coaches would say, hey, try to clear the way for my running back, especially here where you've got Stevie Scott and Samson James. But if he wants to run some routes, especially on the goal line where IU's probably going to use some two tight end or three tight end sets, if they do play, Taylor could be an intriguing prospect. That kind of wraps up the offensive seniors. There is an important special teamer coming up in his senior season, and Hayden Whitehead has really exceeded expectations for me, at least, seeing him punt the ball for IU. I remembered watching some IU games over the course of the last 10 or 12 years where the punting project was a mess. I mean, you'd have guys struggling to get it 40 yards down the field with any hang time. Here's Whitehead, and I don't know if he's going to make the NFL or whatnot, but he's somebody who's been a steady special teamer for IU, and that's something you've never been able to say about too many guys in the recent past, right?
Yes, for sure. Especially about, you know, anything in the kicking game, special teams wise, IU has been known to be hit or miss with it, as every team is. But Hayden Whitehead, again, it's been a rock for us, like you said. And look, we're somebody we're going to miss when he's gone, but we got somebody coming in. James Evans of 2021 is from New Zealand. So we have another New Zealander replacing our
Whitehead's from Australia. So you've got that area of the world, you know?
I thought he was from New Zealand. He's not from New Zealand.
Whitehead's from Australia. I just don't want Hayden Whitehead or his family or friends to come after us and be like, oh, how dare you say we were.
Sorry. We're replacing him with a Kiwi.
That's right. Yeah, James Evans is a really intriguing prospect too. They both kicked at the same camp down in Australia, and that's apparently how you get noticed. But yeah, Whitehead, solid punter. You know, really, really
a rocket of a leg.
Yeah, right. I mean, just an important player. Again, you know, no one's gonna draft a punter on your fantasy team. I get that, especially in college football, but really important position, and he does his job. Time for who won the week, and crazy enough, it's something that happened just earlier tonight. OG Anunoby, yeah, remember him? Of course you do. I know IU fans remember him. His great story continues. He was sizzling tonight for the Raptors, even though they lost and fell into a 2-0 deficit in that series against Boston. But Anunoby at 20.7 rebounds, was 4 of 6 beyond the arc. Again, this is a guy who really struggled in his freshman season at IU, had something like 7 or 8 games where he just flat out didn't score. And now you're talking about somebody who in year 3 or 4, I don't know exactly off the top of my head, but you know, early in his career with Toronto, he's knocking down 20 points in a big time playoff game, 38 minutes too. I mean, unbelievable. So OG keeps winning the week, Matt. I mean, is there anything you want to shout out OG for? Cause I know he's one of your more favorite players here at IU.
Yes, being in class with him was fun. I hope he's still keeping up his croc collection. he would show up. We had a class in the chemistry building, and you have to, the chemistry building is in the center of campus, so there's like no way you have to walk outside for at least like 10 minutes to get to the chemistry building. And he would show up, and it'd be like 3 degrees outside, and he'd be in Crocs and like socks, and that's it. I'm like, that's cold. Like, my feet are, like, I'm wearing boots, my feet are freezing, and you're wearing shoes with holes in them. Like, this is not healthy. Can we not get frostbite on our star player's feet? But he loved his Crocs. He had like camo and pink ones and all the different kinds. But no, I mean, honestly, OG's been killing it in the NBA, but again, shows that like development. Players can get better. They can develop a shot. They can increase in confidence. They can take and grow into roles as something what we're going to be seeing in our current IU basketball team here this year. So,
Crocs and socks, huh?
Crocs and socks.
I mean, he's from Missouri. He's from Missouri, so it's a little surprising to. You know, it's not like that's
Crocs.
Yeah, I mean, it's not cold there, so you know, it's not like he's used to it all that much. So
that's what I'm saying. I'm like, this is some poor life choices here.
Well, I guess in Toronto now it'll get chilly there, so yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure the Canadians have seen him wear the Crocs and socks. Although soon he's, I think he's due for a big contract extension. So so maybe he'll upgrade. Although I don't know. You do you, man. So when we jump back into the seniors on this football team on the defensive side, I mean, you know, this group of guys has been with Tom Allen now. This is going to be the fourth season. Remember, even with Kevin Wilson at the helm in his final year, Tom Allen was a defensive coordinator. So these guys have been coached by Tom Allen to some degree the whole time here, except for the transfers. But starting off, Jerome Johnson, I mean, rock solid defensive lineman. He was great against the run. He was disruptive against the pass. He would get in the face of quarterbacks, really a jack of all trades inside for IU. I mean, Matt, Jerome Johnson, I don't know. Do you think he's got NFL potential? Hey, if nothing else, it's on the line for him in his senior season, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to prove it this senior year. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be a draft prospect. I think he's a little small for his position.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the lateral quickness that you would need in that position, mm-hmm. that burst. But look, as somebody who can play himself onto an NFL roster, and then as you know, if you play yourself onto an NFL roster, then you can stick there, you can find a role, you can find a team that wants you and thinks that they can develop you. So I think, of course, he's got it, but he's got to show out in these however many games that we have in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah, and I mean, we obviously don't have a behind-the-scenes look at what the players are doing during the COVID-19 lockdown, during all those stay-at-home orders. We don't know which guys have been really putting in the work in the weight room, which guys have been kind of slacking off. You know, I've been slacking off, but I'm not on the football team, in case you wanted a light into my life. But look, Jerome Johnson, he's such a good player. I mean, if you ask me, he's the most underrated player on this defense, just because he's someone who's able to sack the quarterback, stop the run. It's exactly the type of player Indiana football has lacked for so many years in the meat and the heat of that defensive line. I mean, Jerome Johnson, man, if you're, like I said, like I mentioned earlier for I think it was WAP, if you're just a casual fan, you're not sure about who these guys are, root for Jerome Johnson when you see him play, because he's going to be the key to a lot of IU success this upcoming season. Players, another guy. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Players like Jerome Johnson, mm-hmm. right? Guys you can build around on the defensive line and are good to above average Big Ten starters and potential NFL players. These are the type of players that programs build upon and eventually get to a level where IU wants to get, right? Like the mm-hmm. Iowas, the Michigan States of the world. The difference between an Iowa and Michigan State and us is prolonged success on the defensive line, mm-hmm. again, pressuring the opposing quarterback and stopping the run, and then skill positions and finding the perfect players that fit their system that might not be going to the top programs like Ohio State and Michigan. So like IU is hitting all of those check marks now under Tom Allen, and Jerome Johnson is one of those players that's going to be very crucial this year for IU's success.
I mean, look, go watch Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch those teams in person, especially, you know, when we do get that chance again, the difference between those teams and what Indiana has always put on the field, it's the size of those guys in the trenches, not so much the receivers or the running backs, as crazy as that sounds. I mean, those guys are still faster and more athletic, even at the skill position.
Najee Harris for Alabama is bigger than anybody I've ever trotted out there.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. But you know, as far as the real sort of physical disparity, it's in the trenches. And Jerome Johnson, who, by the way, his second best offer when he committed to Indiana was from an FCS school in Alcorn State. I mean, what an ascension it's been for Jerome. But also on the defensive line, an interesting prospect is Javon Swan. He transferred from Stanford. Somebody who went to high school in Indiana, Center Grove, same as Trace Jackson Davis, and now upcoming quarterback, his brother Taven Jackson. Yeah. They all went to Center Grove. I mean, Javon Swan, Matt, Stanford transfer, that alone, as you mentioned with Dylan Powell, should be enough to sort of say, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, but he actually might start Javon has the talent to start. Again, he's an in-state kid as well, which means he'll fit in the team very well. Probably having family members around and personal friends probably still at the school, seniors with him. So I look for Javon Swan to get a lot of playing time this year. Again, defense, you're rotating guys in and out, so he's at least going to play, but he might actually start too. So
I would expect that in all honesty. I mean, you're talking about 6'2", 280 pounds. He had four sacks each of his last
80.
And this is the thing we keep talking about it, you know, with this Indiana team, why this is what makes the Hoosiers now different from the Hoosiers in 1990 or in 2000 or in 2010. Yeah. It's that up front. And this is, I mean, Tom Allen, he's coached at Ole Miss. He's coached around the country against those big SEC teams. And he's been aware of what goes on in the Big Ten. He's got some history here in Indiana. Like, he knows how you win, at least on defense, and that's build from the guys up front. You know, other than that, you know, the defensive players aren't all that noteworthy. I do want to mention Michael Ziemba, Chicago area guy. He had 6.5 tackles for loss last year. You're going to see him fly around the field. But the next person I really want to point out, Matt, is Marcelino Ball. I mean, this is somebody who's sort of a versatile defender. Not sort of. He is a versatile defender. He's going to line him up all over the field. Linebacker, safety. Hit us with the facts about Marcelino Ball, Matt.
Sure. Marcelino Ball, Reese's Senior Bowl watch list, NFL prospect, the rock in our defense. I mean, if you think about the best player in the secondary, or the most noticeable player in the secondary the last couple of years, it's the Husky position, right? For IU, it's a player that's going to be able to dive in. It's that safety linebacker hybrid position that IU plays, that Tom Allen champions on his defense. And Marcelino Ball has been playing that position and been playing it pretty well the last couple of years as a senior. Should have a lot of experience to lean on, especially playing all Big Ten games this year against very good opponents. The Big Ten's going to be great this year. I look for him to be very disruptive on the defensive end.
Yeah, and the interesting with Marcelino is, like, there was a little bit of a drop-off last year compared to a couple of seasons ago. There was some criticism of his tackling and whatnot, but whenever you've got someone of his skill and athletic ability out there, 6'2", 220, he can, you know, he can play the sort of modern style of defense that coaches are looking for, where you know, if you want him to attack against the run, he can do that. If you want him to guard the opposing team's best tight end, and we know the types, you know, the tight end position is so strong in the Big Ten every single year, sure, especially in the Big Ten East with Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State. You know, that's the, you know, Pat Freiermuth, for example, is a guy at Penn State right now who's going to get first round love in the 2021 draft. But, you know, a guy like Marcelino Ball is able to not just, you know, cover against them to the best of his ability, but he can stop the run. He can pick off some passes. And he probably, especially with Raekwon Jones gone, he's probably going to be sort of the main communicator on the defense too, the headset guy, if such that type of thing exists in college football. So no Marcelino Ball. Like you said, Matt, Reese Senior Bowl watch list. I mean, that alone should be enough to say, okay, you know, people have their eye on him. The last
he's gonna be a type of player that, like, I can see Bill Belichick in New England salivating over for a linebacker for the Patriots, because he's so versatile, and that's what the Patriots and a lot of NFL teams are looking for. It's the ability to guard multiple guys, ability to do multiple different things and play in multiple different sets. And that's all those players that have been playing in the Husky position for IU have gone to do pretty decent things in the NFL or, you know, you maybe even the CFL also.
Or even in, like, the Big Ten, which that's nothing to scoff at, right? The Big Ten's one of the best conferences in college football. And that's a really interesting point you made there. Because, yeah, I could just see Belichick looking at the draft board, for example, next year in the 6th or the 7th round and saying, what better player can you get at that stage? Well, I guess Belichick ended up getting Brady in the 6th round. So maybe that's not the best example. But
Marcelino Ball to Tom Brady?
Generally speaking, right. It's like, wow, okay. Someone like Marcelino Ball can make a huge impact there. The last player I want to mention is Raheem Lane. He's somebody who he's kind of fallen down the depth chart during his time at IU with Taiwan Mullen and Reese Taylor sort of passing him up. But You know, like we mentioned earlier with Harry Kreider, Raheem Lane hasn't said, see you later, Indiana. I mean, he's sticking around. And Raheem Lane at this point knows probably as good as anyone, guys get hurt. Guys get banged up. Guys, for whatever reason, maybe are unable to play, especially in this day and age with COVID-19 being the way it is. You know, if you even come into contact with someone that's been infected with coronavirus, you've got to sit out. So Raheem Lane says, you know what? I know the system. I know where I am here in Bloomington. I'm going to stick around. I mean, you can't respect someone's decision more than that. You know what I'm saying, Matt?
I mean, it's loyalty, right? Like, yeah. This guy's been loyal. He's here. He's part of the IU family. I don't know about grad transfer specifics on him, but, you know, if you were to choose go the grad transfer route after next year, like, all power to him, right? But look, for as depth-wise, for IU, they aren't going to come much better than Raheem Blaine, right? Like, especially when you're looking at a very important position like defensive back, and you look at Tylan Mullen and the rest of the crew back there, is going to be a very solid starting core. But, you know, for coming in and maybe getting a rep or two in and then going back out and being there just in case the worst happens, like, Raheem Lane's pretty good for that depth.
Fun fact about Lane, though, no matter what, he's going to go down in the history books because he is the first Hoosier, assuming he plays even one snap, he's the first Hoosier to ever wear number 0 in the history of the program because the NCAA finally allowed it this year. Raheem Lane got the honor he switched from number 17 to 0. So there you go. Fun little fact for all of you listening out there. That's why you listen to the Hoosier Sound. You hear stuff just like that. Some other seniors, just to recognize them, Gabe Cohen, Jacob Limbeck, Jared Smoller. You're probably not going to see them on the field. You might see Smoller getting some kickoff duty, but in general, last three there, you're probably not going to see them that much, but they should be recognized for what they've done to the school. Gabe Cohen transferred from Villanova, which is kind of an interesting tidbit about him. So that's pretty much where the football seniors shape up as of this moment. Matt, social media shout out. What do you have for us this week as we enter once again the month of September? What'd you got?
Again, this week, not a lot going on. So I had to dig a little bit. And, you know, speaking of digging, I dig through 12 different schools that made Blake Wesley's top 12 that he announced IU is a part of. So that's my social media shout out. We made a top 12, folks. Congrats. Which is funny because everybody makes fun of these student athletes and the young high school kids for doing their top whatever. I've seen like a top 50 before, and that's just absurd. But I let them enjoy it. I think it's fun. They, you get some people hyped up about making the cut and being part of the final evaluation about where he wants to go to school. That's cool. IU is expected to be in the finalists for Blake Wesley. Again, he goes to South Bend Riley, I believe. So out there in Irish territory, but the Irish didn't make his top 12. So IU, Purdue, Louisville, Ohio State, Texas. Oh wait, Notre Dame did make it. Never mind. They did make it. Okay.
I was gonna say, because I knew they were initially.
I thought it'd be weird if they didn't make it. I did a quick scan. There's 12 schools I'm looking at here. There's a lot to digest. But if you wanna go like the tweet and go give him some love, but not too much love that it breaks NCAA rules, it's Blake Wesley 0 on Twitter. And then go follow our partners, Indiana HQ, on Twitter and on Instagram and on Facebook. And I don't know.
I don't think we have a MySpace. We've got that. I'm not sure.
We don't have a Snapchat.
Don't follow us on Snapchat.
We're about to start building voodoo dolls of Twitter Jack to try to get our Twitter account back, because it's still not back yet. But we'll let you know. Yeah. It'll be big news when we're allowed to tweet on it again. And we're going to do something special for it. So,
well, and here's the deal. I mean, until we figure that out, you've got us over at Indiana HQ. We will make sure you don't miss anything. So make sure you follow us. If you do, make sure you tell your friends or your classmates or whatever to follow us.
For sure.
That's really how we're going to grow and spread the word, you know, across Hoosier Nation. So it's much appreciated. All right, Matt, it's basketball time. Ready to dig in?
Oh, yes.
So we got Al Durham and Joey Brunk, the two seniors, you know, Durham and Brunk, who some nights they look amazing and they look like guys who can really sort of change the dynamic here at Indiana on a game by game basis. Other nights they're invisible. So, you know, what's crazy is overall this 2017 recruiting class, if you think you turn back the clock, to, you know, 3.5 years ago or so when the official recruiting class was set in ink or pencil or type font or whatever, the class was Justin Smith. He's at Arkansas. Clifton Moore, who's moved on as well. Race Thompson, who had to redshirt because of his injury issues, but Thompson's an intriguing prospect. And Al Durham. So of the four guys that signed, Durham is the one guy who, you know, hasn't had to redshirt, who has left the program. Durham, who was close, by the way, if for those of you who may have forgotten, Durham actually did request his release from Indiana after Tom Crean was let go. Durham was recruited by Crean to Indiana, like we talked about some of the other guys in the football team that were partially recruited by Kevin Wilson. Durham was recruited by Crean. Crean was let go. Durham thought about actually, I think he officially did ask for his release, but then he said, you know what? After talking to Archie Miller, if you're talking to my teammates, I'm going to come back. Yeah. And I think IU fans are grateful that he did. I mean, Durham's a guy who still, you know, no matter what you think of him, he still averaged almost 10 points a game last year. He started every game for IU. Matt, let's start with him before we get to Joey Brunk. We know that Christian Lander's coming in next year. Mm-hmm. Or I should say this, he's already here. Christian Lander's in Bloomington, folks. Rob Phinisee in the backcourt. How important, I guess how impactful can Al Durham be this upcoming senior season for IU?
I mean, he's a senior leader. He can be as impactful as he wants to be. That's my answer. He can show up and play, and he can be the senior leader that he wants to be. He might not even start some games, right? Like, he started 32 games last year of the 32 games we played. And as a senior, he might not start. And that's going to be something that, as a leader, he's going to have to take seriously, and he's going to have to be there for his fellow teammates and not make it not. I don't expect him to do any of that, by the way. I think Al is going to do whatever is necessary for the team to win.
Yeah,
he's going to have to hit threes this year. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to be able to defend multiple positions if he's going to want to get anywhere close to the minutes he had last year, because there's a lot of people competing for minutes in the backcourt now, and over multiple positions, and he's going to need to step up his game a little bit going into his senior year. I expect him to do so, though. So
it's funny you mentioned guarding multiple positions, because when you go back and you look at his recruiting profile, the folks at 24/7 Sports pegged him as a 6'4 point guard, which now when you think about it, you're like, he's not a point guard at Indiana. He's never been a point guard at Indiana, but
he's ran point a couple times, and
right. It's
been interesting every single time.
I mean, that's the thing. You just go, oh, I kind of am surprised by that. But, you know, this is somebody who, if you ask me, Matt, can be a you know, game-changing player for Indiana. That's what he's capable of doing. And, you know, last year, when I think about sort of the big games that Al Durham had, how about the 17-point effort at Michigan? I know how you got crushed. I know how you got crushed in that game. Don't get me wrong. But he went out there and put up 17 in that game, which was a Big Ten high for him. But even in that home win over Penn State, he was very productive. He scored 14 in that game. You know, he hit a three. He's shown that he's able to hit the outside shot, which at Indiana, fans have just been begging for. They've said, somebody, please come in and hit some threes. And he was at 38% last year, which you're going to accept. You know, I wonder what Archie Miller and the assistant coaches have had meetings about over the course of the last few months, right? And I know we just talked last week about Kenya Hunter joining the staff over from UConn. Do they envision Al Durham offensively, possibly just as sort of a catch and shoot 3-point guy. I mean, is that way out of left field for you, Matt? Do you think that's too much of a change in a senior year? Or do you think that idea does possibly have some traction?
That has some legs, yes. Yeah. But I think Al's best asset is driving to the hoop and getting fouled. I think he draws fouls at an incredible rate. He's a lefty, too, which makes him very hard to guard. So he's somebody that I would look at as, hey, you're there out there to shoot the three, but you know, if you want to pump fake and maybe get him up in the air every once in a while and drive to the hole, go do it by all means. And I think they're going to give him, as a senior, the freedom to do so, the freedom to play his game. And I think while I said he's not going to start, and I said he needed to hit some threes, what I really meant to say is he needs to hit some clutch shots, because he's going to be somebody that the coaching staff is going to trust. Again, for like a four-year player, a three-year starter, basically. He's going to be somebody that they're going to trust in big minutes to play. And we might not see Christian Lander out there at some points late on in the game, just because Al is going to be playing, and they're going to want the guys that have played together the longest and know each other the best playing, and especially in environments like the Big Ten against teams like that are in the Big Ten. So,
yeah, I mean, that's such a good point. All I'm going to say is for Al Durham, when Indiana won last year, he averaged 11 points a game. When IU lost, only 8. I mean,
he's got to get consistent.
That's
got to be consistent.
I know it's only a difference of 3 points per game, but you know, when you think about it, I mean, 11 PBU versus 8, it's a big deal. So that's Al Durham. And then there's Joey Brunk, Matt. And I don't know what you feel about Joey Brunk. So honestly, I'm just going to toss it over to you right here. All right. We talked about Al Durham. What do you make of Joey Brunk? How do you think he did last year? What do you expect him to do this upcoming season? I mean, I'm just going to hand it off to you right here, Matt. Take it away.
I mean, the bar for big man transfers at IU was set incredibly high by Max Biafek. Yeah. Nobody is reaching that. Joey was fine last year. He did his job. He did what he needed to do. It was his first year in the Pac line system as a transfer, as a guy that was known for his offense and not exactly his defense at Butler. Mm-hmm. Did fine. But I, as somebody that's a little bit out of place in RG's system, as much as I like him, he just doesn't fit. Now, another year in the system, maybe he changes his game a little bit, you know, adjusts some things and is an active part of the IU team. But we need every minute we can get from him, because our front court's depth is like zero. Like, we got him and Trace and Race. And somebody,
and I'm not sure. I'm not even sure I'd say Trace and Race play like the same position or like the same style of Brunk.
Oh no, not even close to the same style, but like you can get away with playing Trace and Race at like the five or whatever you want to call it, the 4.5. Right? Like you could play them as an undersized big, but nobody's gonna have the length or the size that Joey's gonna have on the defensive end to match up against some of the 7-footers that we're going to see in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's why Brunk is so valuable, if you ask me, just because this conference, I mean, just off the top of my head, a guy like Kofi Coburn from Illinois returning.
Right, yep.
Returning back to Illinois.
Illinois team is stacked.
How annoying. Or having to guard a guy like Nate Reavers at Wisconsin, who's obviously a handful, if not two or three hands full. You know, we know exactly how important Joey Brunk is. We saw it last year. There were games against Caleb Wesson, for example, at Ohio State, when the Buckeyes came down here. Brunk was the MVP of that game. I don't care how many points he scored. I'm not going to look it up because I know it wasn't that many, but no, it didn't matter, because that type of defensive effort helped IU win that game. You know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. To see how much leash Archie Miller gives Joey Brunk, the Brunk Yard Dog, right? How much leash does the Brunk Yard Dog get inside for IU next season? At a general level, I'm just going to say this. I think he's going to be a matchup-specific player. And you know what? There are going to be some games next year where you're going to see Joey Brunk play 30 minutes because, you know, he's feeling it on the court. He's able to stay on the court guarding sort of a traditional post player. You know, the referees are being a little lenient out there, letting the guys play a little bit. I'll tell you this, you know, Najma specific player, that's just at the start of the season. If for whatever reason Trayce Jackson-Davis gets hurt, or if Race Thompson gets hurt,
why are we talking about this? I feel uncomfortable bringing up this subject, but yes.
This is it. Like, he's going to get on the floor and he's going to play 30, 35. Like, again, this is a sort of a break glass in case of emergency type situation, but you know, Deron Davis isn't here anymore. And I know Indiana fans had a lot of, you know,
mixed relationship.
Sure. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Mixed feelings about Deron Davis. And we all know the injuries really hurt Deron Davis's progression here at IU. But like, Brunk's going to get a ton of playing time. And Deron Davis's absence, I think, is going to stand out once or twice over the course of this season. All of a sudden, you're saying, wait a second, we don't have that sort of reliable bench center, not really forward, but center that can sort of get in, grab the board, push it up the floor on that first pass, bang, bang. Brunk, I mean, hopefully we don't have to go into that territory like you were saying, but look, if nothing else, and you kind of started the Al Durham part by saying this, he's going to be really important as far as a player's voice on the bench during practice, before the games, after the games, just saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to hold you guys accountable. If you screw up, I'm going to let you know. All right. Maybe Archie's got too much on his plate right now. Like, I'm going to let you know. And if you do well, I'm going to let you know also. Like, Joey Brunk has that leadership potential that I think Indiana missed last year. And, you know, I can't sit here and tell you how many points that's worth. I mean, Matt, do you know how many points is leadership worth?
I think it's an over under of a point, 1.5.
I mean, that's
0.1.5. But yes.
I mean, that's the funny thing, right? We're sitting here talking about Joey Brunk. I honestly think there are some coaches out there that say it's way more than that. Yeah. You know, I mean, if nothing else, you're going to have someone like Brunk, who's probably going to serve as a captain on this team, you know, he'll be able to really set the tone all season. I do want to mention, Matt, we threw a poll out there a couple hours before our podcast started tonight over on Indiana HQ. And the question was simple. It was, which senior is more crucial to Indiana's success this season? And, you know, right away, we've gotten about 70 votes in our poll. And Al Durham has the lead. And he's up 82% to 18. I mean, how do you digest that, Matt? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Or did anything catch your attention there?
Well, people like people who shoot well. So,
yeah,
I think Al gets a lot of love for that. I think Joey's much more crucial than Al is as far as on-court success.
Yeah.
Again, because the depth part of it, like there's nobody going to come and take Joey's minutes. He's not even fighting with anybody for minutes, really. He gets all the minutes he can possibly play, really. Again, matchup dependent. I think we're not going to play him against Luka Garza. That would be that'd be bad. But Joey's going to play when he needs to play. Al is going to play whenever he's playing well and whenever you know the matchup dictates it, right? Like, you know, you have so many people now have come in the guard spot. There's so many players now that can play the guard spot and the 1, 2, and 3 that he's going to have to play well in order to get minutes. Joey doesn't have to. And that's why Joey's more important, because we can't make up for Joey playing you know, poorly. There's nobody he's going to replace him.
You know, man, this is tough for me. By the way, just to close the loop, Brunk had 7 points and 5 rebounds in that win over Ohio State, just in case people don't want to Google it.
An important 7 points.
Yeah, important 7 points. And like I said, the defense in that game was huge. You know, this is tough for me because, you know, like Indiana fans, man, I'm a big sucker for a good three-point shooter. So I'm going to lean Durham still. You know, if he can, like I said, if he can knock down 40% on 5 attempts per game from beyond the arc, that's going to open up so much for this IU offense for guys like Trayce Jackson-Davis inside.
And Joey. Yeah.
And Brunk and Race Thompson. I mean, man, and what's interesting to me is whether or not we're going to see guys like Anthony Leal and, you know,
Trey Galloway
and that whole group, even Jordan Geronimo. I think it'll be interesting to see how this freshman class affects the seniors like Durham and Brunk. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Galloway get some playing time in that front court. I mean, like you said, with only three established guys, you know, all sorts of possibilities exist.
I think out of all the freshmen, though, I would think Jordan Geronimo is probably the most likely. He's just lengthy as all heck. And
which is interesting, because I don't think we would have predicted that like 6 months ago. But with Justin Smith's transfer, it does open up some playing time in that position for Geronimo. He's sort of an ideal like-for-like substitution there. I like Leal as far as potential freshman minutes outside of Lander. I think Anthony Leal has a chance. Because like I said, big sucker for threes. I am surprised, though, at how lopsided it is. I would not have picked 82-18 at this point. So we'll see how it plays out.
It's a lot closer than it's
We'll see how it plays out. All of you listening, you know, you can get your votes in by the end of the night on Thursday night. So that poll is going to be up for a couple days. So, you know, if you're listening to this on Wednesday or Thursday, go over to the Indiana HQ Twitter account and tell us what you think. Matt, as we wrap up here on this Tuesday night, any final thoughts as the senior class, what's your biggest takeaway?
I mean, again, for basketball, this is a tumultuous senior class, right? Like, you look up and down, you know, what they went through, the coaching change before they even got there, and then not making the tournament, and then making the tournament, but the tournament not happening. Like, they've been through almost everything you possibly can be, and now we only have two of them left, and one of them wasn't even here as a freshman. So, interesting stuff. Football seniors are all important. All of them are, especially for just behind the scenes stuff, but especially on the field. And you look up and down the offense and defense. It's some of the most important names. WAP, Marcelina Ball, Jerome. Yeah. Ty Freifogel, half the offensive line. Like, these are some very important players we're talking about that are our seniors. So they're going to be the heartbeat of the team, and they're going to need to step up and play like seniors in their senior year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Even Hayden Whitehead, the punter.
Right.
I mean,
come on.
I mean, look, as far as I'm concerned, like the pandemic is so crazy. And we don't have to tell you about that anymore. We've had a couple episodes on it. I have no idea what this football season is going to look like if it happens. But I'll tell you this much, like the seniors on the football team and the basketball team, almost every single one that we've mentioned can make a huge difference in their final year at Indiana. So, you know, assuming, hoping that they do end up playing, fans or no fans, I think every single one of those guys that we mentioned can make a huge impact for IU this season. But folks, that about wraps it up for our 157th episode of the Hoosier Sound. Thank you so much for supporting us. We really appreciate all of you joining the show tonight. Thank you to our live audience. You guys are all beautiful people. Thank you to the recording audience. Whenever you listen to us, we appreciate that as well. To hear more fantastic episodes like the one you heard today, be sure to follow Indiana HQ over on Twitter. You can also go to our website, indianahq.com, to find everything in one place. Lastly, if you enjoy our show, and this is big, folks, leave us a review, tell a friend, share our links. Your support really helps us grow this podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel or Indiana HQ's YouTube channel. You're going to get these podcast episodes. You're going to get Indiana basketball videos, all sorts of stuff out there. But as always, Hoosier Nation, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.